So who do you work for?
Can you keep a secret?
I'm press.
Which paper?
All over.
I'm something of a rarity.
How's that?
I shoot the dead. Dead bodies, that is. I don't kill them.
Why do we own that?
Road to Perdition. I'm just gonna keep cuddling our dog. Because the movie just ended. And it ended with a dog running through the grass. So, that was a good movie. Why do we own that?
I'm just waiting for you to answer, like, ask the, literally the title of the podcast before we start talking about the movie.
Sorry, I have a dog.
Road to Perdition is, like, one of the first DVDs I owned, for sure. It was in the first 10 that I ever owned, definitely.
You definitely owned this when I first met you.
Yeah, no, I've owned it since 2002, I think.
Wow.
It was one of those movies that I saw in theaters with my dad.
Oh my god.
And it's a daddy issues movie.
Oh, Jesus. And so like, you must have just sobbed this entire... Were you holding his hand by the end?
No, I don't think... No, because it's not that kind of movie. It really isn't. It's a manly daddy issues movie. In a way that, like, Big Fish is meant to, like, destroy you from the inside out.
With daddy issues,
this movie
yeah.
is, like, meant to harden you.
Fathers. So, is that what you did when you left the film? Did you get in your car and you both looked at each other and just kind of, like, nodded and drove off with big hats?
Something like that. I like this movie a lot. I like many people, I'm sure, but I think late 90s, early 2000s, Tom Hanks is like one of the greatest runs that any actor has ever had.
He's fantastic. Like, there haven't been a lot of movies I've seen him in where I didn't like him. I actually can't really think of one, to be honest with you, but this was absolutely one of his top performances.
Oh, totally agree. And like...
Like, up there with You've Got Mail.
And see, that's really what's funny
remarkable
about Tom
that,
Hanks.
Yeah,
is that, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people out there who would say, you know, people of a certain age would say their favorite Tom Hanks era is, you know, the Big Burbs, Joe versus the Volcano era. And
Joe versus Volcano, Sleepless in Seattle.
And then there's
You've
a whole bunch of people.
Him and Meg Ryan.
Well, but yeah, but You've Got Mail is actually more like late 90s, but there's a whole like slew of people out there who would say no, like I like Forrest Gump, Philadelphia, You've Got Mail.
Then there's
Tom
also
Hanks.
A group who would be like Castaway and
yeah, I mean Castaway is from the middle of this era. And that's prime Tom Hanks for me. I don't you know from Saving Private Ryan
Ugh.
Through
yes.
You know, this movie, The Terminal, Castaway.
I think I saw The Terminal in theaters, come to think of it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
I mean...
I was obsessed with Tom Hanks.
Catch Me If You Can. It was from this
era. Yeah.
He's just... It's funny that, like, for me to try to claim that he's an underappreciated actor, which is ridiculous, because obviously he's incredibly celebrated, but, like... When we think of our greatest actors,
I think we
tend to think of, like, the Daniel Day-Lewises of the world who turn in these, like, crazy, layered, difficult performances.
Once every 5 years, yeah.
Or even, you know, not that I would agree with the statement, but, like, Leonardo DiCaprio's of the world who are doing things like, you know, The Revenant and Tom Hanks.
Which we still have not seen.
Right. With the exception of Castaway, Tom Hanks is never... crawling through the dirt for his, you know what I mean? He's not that.
He's always relatable.
Yeah, it's a layered, relatable human performance.
But you know what? That's kind of how I feel like he is. He's got to be in reality, too, just because he's one of those, I wouldn't be able to walk by Tom Hanks on the street without going, holy shit, that's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Yet you never read anything about him. You never hear any stories about
him. No, I agree.
He's not
a
press figure.
Yeah, he has a son
Colin.
That... Well, he's got Colin, but he has another son from, like, an earlier marriage, I think, who...
You should have married Meg Ryan. They were so good together.
Who is, like, in a lot of trouble, like, constantly. And constantly says, like, horrible things about Tom Hanks in the press and stuff. I mean, it's rough. But, you know, so I'm sure he's no saint, but...
No, I'm not saying he's a saint. I'm just saying it's impressive that he's...
No, I agree with you. He's kind of like Denzel in that way, that, like...
Yeah,
you
don't
know,
really hear much...
He's just an everyman type actor.
Opposed to Leo, who you hear about every other day.
Yeah, for sure.
Leonardo DiCaprio got Starbucks today.
I also love his social media presence. I know we're getting way off topic here from the movie, but...
Tom Hanks has a social media presence?
He has a Twitter, and he signs every tweet Hanks, except with an X.
What the hell does he think he is?
And
oh my God, that's
but
so
mostly,
funny.
But mostly, it's pictures of single mittens or gloves. Like, he'll post a picture of, like, a single glove that he found on the street.
What?
Be like, you know, missing its partner. Like, I don't know why, but he's, like, fascinated by, like, single gloves. I swear to God, I have to have seen a dozen tweets from him.
That's so bizarre.
I know.
That's so strange.
But, like, kind of cute. No? In a way? That, like, this
no,
is how
it just
he
makes me think
to...
that he's, like, a secret amputee.
What are you talking about?
That he must have one hand, and that's why he likes these gloves so much.
That's ridiculous. I don't think that at all. I think
robot hand.
Robot hand.
He's got a robot hand.
So
is it
Tom
left
Hanks
or...
is a Jedi, is what you're telling me.
Jedis aren't robots.
No, robot hand. Like Luke...
Oh,
his...
okay, and that, fine. I thought you were making a statement that all Jedis are robots, which
no,
is in fact
what?
False.
No. No, I just think that he's he chooses to tweet to his, you know, millions, I'm sure, if we checked, Twitter followers.
That's hysterical.
Pictures of missing gloves.
That's
you know,
really...
it's just like, what an odd man.
I would have liked to see him at, like, parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah, yeah. So this movie, though.
This movie, oh, this was fantastic.
It's really good.
It is a really, 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 really great movie.
It's very pretty in a
way.
Oh
my God, all the shots are so gorgeous.
Yeah,
they're all
well framed, well acted.
They're all just lined up so well. That final scene where...
The rain sequence with Paul Newman?
No. I'll get to that in a sec. But, no, the final scene where they're in the lake house.
You mean the final scene? Yeah,
the
final
scene.
Sure.
And then when Jude... Spoiler. When Jude shoots him, and it's you're watching it through the glass, but you see it's like 50% of your vision is the beach and the lake, and the other 50% is what's going on in the room, and
because it's reflected.
Correct, and I kept trying to focus on one or the other, and you can't.
It's just all one image.
You see them both together, and it's just so beautiful because you've got this kid's reaction to watching his father get shot from a distance. Than the emptiness of the vast lake and the ocean. But then you've also got Jude, who then appears with, like, fucking staples all over his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, they made an attractive man really ugly.
Yeah, they certainly did a number on Jude Law in this movie.
Woof.
That's actually one of my favorite Jude Law performances, too, now that I think about it, because it's so different for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know... He was in Talented Mr. Ripley before this, which is, you know, got some weird psychopathic, you know, it's
they
been
like
a long
kill
time
a guy in a boat, don't they?
I think they killed Jude Law. I think Matt Damon kills Jude Law.
That's like the only scene
I
remember.
Honestly, I don't remember. What I do remember about Jude Law though is, you know, the suave
closer
for sure. You know, it's silly for me to bring up, but his part in Spy, like that suave. Mm. You know,
I'm handsome and I know it.
I'm handsome and I know it. And then, like, later on in his career, he played a bunch of, like, more sweeter, nerdier parts, like the dad in Hugo and Watson in the Sherlock Holmes series. But, you know, it's always movie star quality with him.
Always.
And in this movie, he just made it as grotesque.
His fingernails were horrific.
His teeth, his hair.
Yeah, but his fingernails bothered me the most.
Yeah.
There's nothing creepier, for some reason, to me than a man with long fingernails.
Yeah.
There's a guy I went to high school with who just wouldn't cut his fingernails or his toenails.
No.
And we always did summer camp together, and he played the oh God, every, like, horizontal stringed instrument, guitar, banjo, bass, whatever, you name it, ukulele. But he used to like to keep his fingernails long because he said he didn't have to use a pick.
Ugh.
He'd use his fingernails Ugh. Instead. But it was also like we'd hang out during, he was like in our group of friends, it would be during the summer, and we'd be like at the beach or something, and so he'd be barefoot and his toenails were just, oh my God, I can still picture the length of his nails, and they were horrific.
Right.
It just made him look just instantly like a pedophilic murderer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
100%.
And I just think that that's like, with Jude Law's character, he's not even introduced until like 45 minutes into the movie.
I know, he was like top billed, and I'm like, where the fuck is Jude Law?
Right, and so I think they felt like they needed to do so much to, and yet somehow he doesn't come off like a caricature. I don't know what it
Nobody
is.
Nobody in this film does, which is fascinating.
But like, you know who's in this film, interestingly enough, is Jennifer Jason Leigh, who did a similar thing in
Hateful Eight,
where, you know, they uglied her up. And she, that was a good performance too, but like, that's a caricature.
100%.
You
know who
this
was
not?
Paul Newman was remarkable. He's, number one, his fucking blue eyes.
I know,
just
striking.
Oh, absurd. But, and then this is going to be a really blasphemous thing for me to say, but I don't know that I've ever seen another Paul Newman film.
Really?
Throw some at me.
Butch Cassidy.
I saw that when I was really young, so technically yes, but all I remember is that
really.
Final scene where they're running out and screaming from behind the pillars.
The Sting, which we talked about last night.
Never saw The Sting.
The Sting. Cool Hand Luke?
Nope.
The Hustler?
Nope.
I mean, sure. It's possible that you don't...
He's got some great marinara sauce.
And pineapple salsa.
He does. Oh my God, his pineapple salsa is so good.
Yeah.
But I think this is the first Paul Newman film I've ever seen, which is just a terrible, terrible
say. No, that's just... It's virtue of your age and the fact that, you know, a lot of his movies are not ones that your parents would have sought out for you either.
I remember all of us sitting down to watch Butch Cassidy, but Max and I think we're just too young.
Yeah.
So all I remember is that iconic final scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Paul Newman, he was brilliant in this. Like, it's rare, I feel like, that you see a performance from a genuinely old man or woman that is really, honestly good, and you're not thinking that it's good because, oh, well, they're so old, it's good because of that.
Yeah, you're,
do you know
like,
what I mean?
Like the woman in Titanic. You're like, oh, what a good performance for someone
that
old.
Oh, wow. 100%.
No,
I
agree with you.
I wish Paul Newman and Betty White could have done a film together.
Yeah, who knows? They might have gone back through their filmography.
That would be fun.
Yeah, well, he was one of the early Method guys, so, like, you know, he was part of that Marlon Brando, you know, movement a little bit later, but not much.
Yeah, well, you could...
You can see it.
You can feel the emotion in his performance.
Yeah, totally. It's
radiating
off of him.
He really meant it, yeah.
You know, I thought the scene where... You know who does come off a little caricature?
Daniel Craig.
Is Daniel Craig.
Yes, agreed.
And I thought the contrast was really stark in that scene after Kieran Hines gets murdered and they're having that dinner on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Craig is kind of mugging a little bit in that scene. And Paul Newman is commanding the room with so little.
But also, that, I totally agree with that, and Daniel Craig stands up at one point, Paul Newman just is always sitting down.
And that's still in power.
And he's just saying, like, one word.
Yeah.
Or two words, try again.
Yeah.
Try again. But also, after Daniel Craig, you know, murders Tom Hanks' family, and Paul Newman shows up in the room, and
yeah.
Daniel Craig just loses his fucking shit.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to catch on in the film that there was something, like, mentally wrong with Daniel Craig's character.
Yeah.
Like, that he was, like, sociopathic in a way.
It wasn't explicit in the script.
Yeah, and
he was,
and I don't think it was explicit in his performance, though, either, I think, was
and
the issue.
And yet it was hinting at that.
It was.
Anyway,
it
was a little
really,
wishy-washy.
Yeah, and so that scene, Daniel Craig was just losing his fucking shit, and Paul Newman just yelled at him, but then immediately started hugging him, like, what are we gonna do? And I'm like, well, Like, I actually genuinely felt bad for Paul Newman in that scene, which is absurd. You should in no way, shape, or form feel bad for a mob boss.
I agree. What I think is really interesting about his performance in this movie is that, like, there's an awful lot of, like, elderly mob boss types in these types of movies. Like, everyone has. I mean, Marlon Brando in The Godfather is a great, you know, example, but I don't think any of them are as tragic a character as this one. You know,
because
like, you really...
he really wanted to get out.
Yeah.
He really wanted...
Yeah.
And he was genuinely torn. He didn't want either of his sons to get killed, but he had to choose blood over non-blood, even though he knew that his own son was a lunatic.
Yeah, totally. It's almost Shakespearean, you know? And it's definitely, like, I would never go so far as to say he's a better character than Vito Corleone, but... Vito has that scene with Al Pacino where he's like, I never wanted this for you. I wanted you to be a senator.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yeah.
But, like, he still was a bad guy.
Just a terrible human.
You never got the feeling that Paul Newman... It was almost like that it was implied that he was a bad guy, but he was... It was like that. It was all behind him.
But I'd still hang out with Paul Newman. I'd be like, hey, Mr. Mob Boss, let's go for a drink.
Yeah, so cool. And Kieran Hines had a great little character, too.
Like, I don't believe they killed Kieran Hines that fast.
I know.
Who, by the way, has not aged in, like, 15 years.
Speaking of great parts, Dylan Baker had a great little part.
I love his bit about the... Can we talk for a second about the scene, the montage, where they're teaching Michael Jr. how to drive?
And they're robbing the banks. And
just
so good.
The various... It was just such a nice little, like... comedic interlude when they're also doing something hyper illegal and dangerous, but at the same time, Sam Mendes, brilliant work, Sam Mendes. Shout out to Sam Mendes, who I'm sure is listening to this podcast right now. There were like six or seven different moments of them trying to like of him trying to pick up Tom Hanks after robbing a bank, and everyone was different, and everyone was really really funny.
I know,
like it really. Something that kitschy normally wouldn't probably get me to, like, laugh.
Right.
But it worked, because I was like, that's great.
No, I totally agree. And Stanley Tucci was great.
I love Stan Tucci.
The bodyguard from the brothel and towards the beginning.
He was just really
liked
fun.
Him,
I really liked him.
You.
Kudos to you, Mr. Man.
Good bit part acting. Good old bit part acting, where everyone was strong. I mean, I do...
Yeah, shout out to the casting director.
Yeah, for sure. Deborah Zane, I think.
I think
I saw that in the beginning.
Of course.
I don't know. There are some problems with the movie. Lack of umbrellas.
Absurdity. They're getting so wet.
Lack of women. The only woman in the whole movie gets killed.
Not true. There was the old woman who found her husband too late, so couldn't procreate, which, you know, shame on her.
Yeah, but she barely had a part.
She did.
And then there was a whore. Jude Law had a whore.
Yeah, which, I mean, that girl was lucky she got away.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, like...
does not pass the Bechdel test.
Does not pass the Bechdel test. And also, there's a good period of time, good chunk of time during the, call it, second act of the movie that it plods along. It, like...
Was that the time when we were folding our laundry?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, like, you know, they're trying to build relationship between Tom Hanks and Michael, and you know, there's some nice scenes in there. But it exposed the kid actor a little bit for not being as strong
as
he needed him to be.
Who is now a gorgeous human being. Holy shit.
Yeah, he was in Everybody Wants Some, right? Did
yeah, and
that?
He's, like, apparently a lead on Teen Wolf, which was a big thing. I actually have never seen Teen Wolf.
No, neither have I.
But I imagine he would probably be one of the teens who is
who
also
a wolf.
A wolf.
Yeah, most likely, yeah. No, I like it. I was reminded, though, of... why it's been so long, like I wouldn't put it up there with a movie like you know, LA Confidential or The Usual Suspects for me, which is a movie, or Patriot Games, which is a movie that I could watch that movie
day.
Twice a year and never feel like I'm bored, you know, and some blockbusters too, like Jaws and Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but those are
like,
different categories.
Yeah, I'm talking about like these like more drama.
Movies you can't fully
like,
recite yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This never quite, even though I like it a lot, it never quite made it there for me, and I figured out why tonight again was that, you know, it's just it takes too long to get to the murder, the murder of the family, and then it takes too long in the middle for them to circle back around to Paul Newman. And then once Paul Newman comes back into the movie,
you're like, ooh, yeah.
It gets really strong.
Yeah.
But there are parts in the middle there where it really slows down.
Should we count it off?
Let's do it.
1, 2, 3.
Keep it, but it's going to be a while before I watch it.
I agree, but it's a nice film. I really enjoyed it.
Totally.
The lack of umbrellas is really, really, really troubling.
I understand.
There is so much rain, and those hats aren't 12 feet wide. I mean, that final scene with Paul Newman, it was 3 umbrellas to 7 men. Like, that's not an okay ratio in the rainiest place on earth. The road to perdition is the rainiest place on earth.
It was a 7 level of rain.
Oh my God, for real?
7 S-E, number 7 E-N.
But there were no severed body parts in boxes.
No, what's in the boxes?
Can we watch Con Air next?